Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Everybody, welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts. As if you even listen to other podcasts. Why would you? You're here with me and my good buddy, Paul. Paul, good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes, it has, Tom.
Man, where the hell have you been?
I've been everywhere, man.
Jeez, you're like Johnny Cash without the heroin. Welcome, everybody. We're glad that you decided to give us a listen. Sorry we're coming in one day late, but our schedule dictates it. And Paul had a big emergency yesterday, which we'll get into as soon as we're done getting the business out of the way. This weekend, I am in San Francisco, back at Cobb's Comedy. Beautiful, fun club, legendary club. This Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in the San Francisco. I love going up there. This is a good time. I'm upset that you're not going to be there, but you were there last time, so whatever. I'll just have to eat by myself in the beautiful Italian section, the north, was it the north something section of San
North
Francisco?
Beach?
North Beach. Can't wait. I'm just going to eat my face off. I was thinking this morning, there's also that place where we got the Irish coffee, the place that legend has it was the first place to start the Irish coffee.
Right.
I forget the name of it.
I do too.
It's called Monte Cristo's, maybe? Whatever it is.
Let's see.
It's a weird thing. It's a weird drink to get in as a working comedian, because if you drink it in the daytime, when you want the caffeine, you have booze in it.
Right.
That's never good the day of the show. And then if you drink it after the show, because they do stay open late, then you end up filled with caffeine.
Right.
At midnight. The Buena Vista.
Yes, that was it.
Legendary place.
Social club.
Such a cool place. And they apparently made the first Irish coffees here in the U.S., and it's a great place to go. I will partake. I'll just do it early, you know, and then take a nap, I guess. But it's a great eating place. I'm excited, especially, with my bread obsession. So anyway, I'll be there this weekend. I'll be doing live from here in Nashville the weekend after that. Then Northampton at the Irish Horse Music Hall in the beginning of May. Also, the City Winery in Boston the beginning of May. Hopefully, we'll see a baseball game during that run. Mamaroneck, New York. Newton, New Jersey. Detroit, Michigan. The Majestic Theater. That one's a ways away. I'm just reading off my website, but apparently that's November. But in Detroit at the Majestic Theater. So a lot of dates coming up, a lot of stuff going on. Live Come to Papa in a couple weeks in New York City. Go to TomPapa.com for all of your comedy needs. And if you want some extra, go to PaulHasAWebsite.com and find out where Paul is touring when he's not touring the Come to Papa style. So yesterday, we were going to broadcast for you, and I was here baking bread. I used 100% malted wheat from Central Milling in Utah. Made two incredible loaves. They were so perfect. I normally put in a little white flour in it. This time, I ran out of white flour. I'm like, but I'm not going to stop the routine of baking because I've been home for a couple of days and I like to crank it out. And I went to go see Joey Diaz on his podcast. So I wanted to make sure I had bread for him because he's a big man who loves food. So I used 100% of this malted wheat flour. A no-brainer. So perfect. So good.
What is malted flour, though?
I'm not too sure what makes it malted. That's a very good question. It sounds like you're in a 1950s diner.
Malted is one of those words that nobody knows what it means. They just think it sounds extra. It's like artisanal.
Yeah. I'll tell you what it is. Fully malted flour. No, that's not explaining it. I was going to use the internet as my brain. What is malted flour? Why is malted barley? Malted barley flour, technically, because it's malted, it has increased enzyme activity. More precisely, it contains alpha amylase, which helps break down the complex sugars and starch in the dough to simple sugars, such as maltose, making them easier for the yeast to feed on. That still doesn't tell us what it is. Malted, honestly, though, both sugar and barley malt are high in glycemic index. Bah, bah, bah.
Sounds like something left over. Malt extract.
Yeah.
Germinating barley grain in a process known as malting, immersing barley in water.
Steam dried. I'll tell you what malted is. Steam dried, hulled, then ground and sifted. What?
I still don't feel like
we're... I still don't feel like we have the real...
Well, there's malted milk, right?
And malted barley flour is made from barley that is malted. Example, barley that is allowed to germinate. Steam dried, hulled, and ground and sifted. Technically, because it's malted, see, they're still...
Now we have to look up...
It's like they don't want us to know what malted is.
I know. We have to look up germinate now.
What? All I know is it made of delicious... Malt is germinated cereal grain that has been dried in a process known as malting. The grains are made to germinate by soaking in water and then halted from germinating further by drying with hot air. So it's a process. Do you get it?
No, they just want to hide it. Why don't they just tell us?
We don't really need to know, do we? All I know is I saw it at Lodge Bread, this great bakery here in L.A., and whenever I go into a bakery, I look at the big bags of flour that they've got because they have to store them right in the shop because they're so big. And I steal the name. And this was malted flour, and those guys, that's what they make. And they also add to it, which you can do, put a little rye in it, put a little whatever in it. But like I said, I just used straight up 100% this malted flour. They came out so great. Use my sourdough starter. Perfect. Perfect loaves. Joey Diaz, I'm sure, has eaten the whole thing before I got in my car after his podcast. And just delicious. Just such a perfect, perfect bread. So I'm home baking these breads, cranking it out, back into my... you run around. I've been touring heavy. I've been gone a lot. Hooked up with the family. Did some spring break vacation stuff with them, but I'm still out of the house. I've not been home very much. So when I get home, and I know that I'm working on the second book, this is like a broken record of my life, right? I'm now back cranking out the next book.
It's
all the other stuff we're supposed to write for Live From Here, whatever. And it's the bread. The bread is the anchor. I know if I am able to bake the bread, that means I'm home. That means I have time to write. All good things come from baking the bread. And it also means that we can do Come to Papa. And Paul and I can hang out and do our podcast that we love and talk to all of our friends out there. Yes, I'm talking to you. But yesterday, Paul calls panicked, distraught, upset.
Actually, it was probably the most calm I've been in that situation.
Oh, really? Why?
Because I pulled into a place to eat, and I hit like a... You know, when you hit like a...
What's this place to eat?
Tony's, the place that you like.
What?
Yeah.
You were going to Tony's?
Yeah, Tony's Mexican Grill.
Greatest Mexican restaurant.
So good.
In all of California.
Named after an Italian. And So I pulled in there, and it was one of those like potholes right before the curb.
Yeah.
So you kind of heard like a little extra jolt, but I didn't, you know, think of
pulling it. Pulling into the parking lot?
Yeah.
So yeah. Well, let me explain. Tony's, like many great places in Los Angeles, they're in these kind of weird little strip
malls. I thought you were going to say because they had a picture of you in it. Like any great place in Los Angeles.
Well, yeah. I love this place from the time I came out. My good friend Jen and Pete turned me on to Tony's years ago. And when I first came out to do my first sitcom, I had to do an article for the LA Times, and they asked me what are my favorite places, and I said Tony's Mexican Grill, and got my picture taken in Tony's as part of the publicity. Fast forward 15 years later, I have a love affair with the people from Tony's because I did for them and they do for me and they feed my family probably once a week. I pay for it, of course, but it's just nice knowing that it's part of your community.
Yes.
But like Tony's, but I wasn't bringing that up. What I was bringing up was that in Los Angeles, these places were built years ago. These little strip malls, these little... It's not a city. It's not built on... It's not Chicago. It's not... We have a little downtown, but the rest of it is a sprawling suburb. So all these places, even gems like Tony's Mexican Grill, are found in these tiny little awkward strip malls that were built years ago that have parking for cars the size of a soda can.
Right.
And now we have bigger vehicles and work trucks and SUVs, and they're all trying to park in the same number of spots in these tiny awkward places, and it's a living hell.
Yeah.
Anywhere you go, you ask someone from LA, so you want to go someplace, they think of two things. How much traffic is it going to be to get me to that place? And when I get in the place, where am I going to park? You literally think about where you're going to park.
Right.
Just from the suggestion of going and eating at Tony's.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. So you pull your car in, which is an average size car. It's not a giant thing. But yeah, I understand that it's an awkward spot to pull into that place. So you hit a curb.
No, I didn't hit a curb.
You didn't hit a curb.
No, it was like, but you know, like, there's certain like potholes that are like built into like the curb.
Right.
Like there's a hole almost before the curb, like the...
Like the on-ramp,
the
entranceway.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
So I felt that, but I was like, it wasn't a big deal,
uh-huh.
I don't think. And then I pull in, and then I eat, and then I come out, and I look, and my tire's flat. So I don't know if it was flat from that, or it's the first time that I drove my car since I've been home in like 3 weeks.
Ah, so maybe it had been flat and you didn't even realize.
So I don't know. So
what did you eat?
I had fajitas with adding shrimp, because they actually have good shrimp there. I don't know.
They have really good shrimp. I always get the shrimp tostada, which I had just the other night. They brought it to my house.
There's people that get the special, the carnitas. Mm-hmm. It's like a Tuesday special. That's a big one.
That's a really good one.
And then there's a mole, which I did not care for. But
I've never had the mole.
That was a special, too.
You tried that?
Once. It's too fine for me. It's like a...
The chicken is?
Really mint. Yeah, yeah. It was more of the sauce than the chicken.
The mole sauce is like a chocolate-based sauce.
Right, that's what it looks like. It's just like almost like a soup, kind of. Yeah. It's not thick enough for me.
Right.
But yeah. So
come back out. You're all happy. You've had your
It's like, you know, it's an hour before the podcast,
right?
And then I look and I was like, oh. And the first thing I thought was like, was this flat when I was driving, or is it something I can do like a fix a flat thing? And then so I call AAA, and they're like, well, if you don't need to, do you have like a donut? And I was like, this is the first time I've had the car that I don't even realize.
Uh-huh.
Like, I've owned this car for almost a year, and I don't think I've ever checked if there's a, like a full-size spare, if there's a donut.
Of course.
So I was like, oh, there's a donut. She's like, well, it would only take like 45 minutes instead of 90 to actually get towed. Because my garage was like right down the street.
Right.
So, and my guy is like a cool Russian guy, and he's done right by me with everything. He's one of those guys that like, even if you're like, this tire's gone flat three times, he's like, you don't need a new one. I'll just fix it for you.
Yeah, the greatest guy.
He's good.
Yeah.
And so that's when I was like, okay, I could even do the podcast, but then I have to be here when he like pulls me down to the garage and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
And
so wait, you put the donut on yourself?
No, no. I called AAA.
Yeah.
He, you know, because he's got to take the flat off. I couldn't have done that.
Oh. I bet you could have.
Well, it was so close to the other car, too, that he had to, like, move around and get some space. He still had to, like, jack the whole thing up and stuff.
It's a lot easier that you don't do it.
Yeah, yeah. And
AAA, by the way.
Amazing.
This is not a plug, but it is a plug.
You should always have it.
My God. Yes, which I actually have to remind myself to put my daughter on it. It is the... Talk about someone that's going to save your butt anytime you're in trouble, anywhere,
thousands at any of time. Dollars.
Yeah,
it saved me.
It saves you thousands of dollars. It's they get you out of jams. I've had them come to the house because my battery went dead, and they just come and pull your car out and give you a new battery. Boom, done, out, and you're gone. It's amazing.
There's a I was doing a corporate in Las Vegas one time. Driving the old PT Cruiser.
Nice.
I get a flat on that highway.
Oof.
In the middle of nowhere,
the
you
desert.
Know, like the Vegas.
Yeah.
And I got, for whatever reason, I got the plus, which is
nice.
They can tow you 20 miles instead of 7.
Right. Probably for an extra $2.
Yeah. So it was actually, that was one of those places where the next exit was like 12 miles.
Nice.
And so there wasn't even like a gas station. So it was like almost exactly 20 miles. The guy towed me, fixed the tire, and then I was on my way and didn't even...
Amazing.
Wasn't even late.
Yeah, you don't even have like a hitch in your plan. So this shows why you weren't totally freaked out, I guess.
Yeah, because it was taken care of. It was just I was mad that I couldn't... Because I was like, I could do the show, but then... The garage isn't going to be able to fix it by the time we're done because we were doing it a little bit later. So sorry about that, Tom. I wanted to...
No problem. I understood. And look, I was running around. I was kind of at the end of my day. I was very tired. Yesterday was like the first day, which I didn't really have like a ton of stuff. So I was pretty wiped out too. But I just picturing you dealing with a flat is always... It's always an annoying situation. Like you're cruising along, especially out here. You need your car. Constantly.
Yeah.
It's not like it's like, you know, forget it. It's almost more important than your cell phone. Not as important, but almost.
Pretty much.
Oh, I have an expired card. Where's my new card?
And that's the great thing is
the other part, sorry to interrupt, but the other great, amazing secret thing about AAA, it allows you to skip the DMV.
Oh, really?
I don't know
if I've done that.
Yeah, it's a secret. It's kind of like the secret menu at In-N-Out Burger. If you need to do your registration or you need something, like there's only a couple things, like renewing a license you can't do there. Everything else, instead of going to the DMV, you go to the AAA office in this nice little place. You get brochures about traveling and little maps, and there's like a tiny little line.
Oh, really?
And they take care of all of your DMV services right there in the place.
I didn't know that.
I'm holding a card that says it was expired on May 19th, 2016. I'm wondering if I have let this lapse.
That's the great thing is you can like call. I've done it where it was expired.
Yeah.
And you can like renew it like that second and then call. And then
yeah,
just
and they'll
do
just
it.
Take care of you. I'm gonna hold on. I gotta get. I just have to.
Gonna renew it right now.
I'm gonna renew it right now.
Yeah, it was amazing. The guy, you know, what do you tip a guy like that?
A guy comes and fixed my flat, $20. If I have a 10 on it, maybe I'll... But yeah, $20.
Well, what if it's a temporary?
Then he gets 5. I don't know. The guy's coming
in. You always do, though, right?
What?
You always tip a guy like that.
Yeah, yeah. But there's been a couple times when they came to do the battery where they refused the tip.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I didn't know that.
I remember distinctly. Yeah, they totally...
I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
I've always, like, that's what a... Like this, like a battery thing or keys.
Mm-hmm.
You ever locked your keys in your car?
Not since high school.
Oh, I did that once.
You did?
Yeah. And yeah, they're good. They're quick.
I did it once. This wasn't a AAA thing, but I did it once at a Grateful Dead concert in college.
Oh my God.
In the parking lot of a Dead show, which is like...
Jesus.
Yeah, it's like a camp. Ground filled with people on drugs.
What are you locking your door at a Dead show?
I don't know what happened. I was probably out of my mind as well. And I always drove, you know. So I drove a bunch of my friends down. We probably had 3 cars in our little camp. And we're just in the middle, like the middle of a gigantic place filled with 100,000 people.
Oh my God.
And my keys are locked in the car.
Jesus.
Yeah.
What'd you do?
No cell phones. By the way,
right?
No, anything. So
one of your friends is dumb enough to want to break the window or something, right?
Now we were close. Yes, there was definitely my friend Dan was like, "We're going to break the window," and excited to do it, and I had to tell him not to. And I went to a payphone, walked to the end of the thing, the parking lot. Called, I don't know how I got the number. There must have been a phone. You remember there used to be phone books?
Yeah.
There used to be phone books attached to a metal cord in a phone booth. Like you would have a book with pages of paper.
Right.
Listing all of the local businesses and people in the area. And I looked up a thing and found a tow truck company. Like a locksmith. It was a locksmith tow
yes,
truck.
Yes, that's what you got to call.
Yeah. And they came to the Dead show, and I got in the car truck with him. I must have just sat there with my friend or girlfriend and waited, and the guy pulled up. This all seems impossible, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah.
And he pulled up, and I got into the truck with him, and we drove through the crowd of hippies spinning around and selling falafels and playing hacky sack. And we got, and he thought he was on another planet.
Yeah, I was going to say, it was probably the greatest day of his life.
he was like, it was like in Virginia or something. And he never saw these people before in his life and thought it was hilarious. And pulled up and he opened up my thing and gave me my thing. I probably handed him a credit card or cash from sticker sales. We were selling stickers. And got me in my car and got me my keys back.
That's awesome.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah.
It seems impossible.
Yeah.
One other time, I left my keys. I was going... This is all college stuff. It only happens, like, college and high school are the only times before you get your act together where this happens, like, with regularity.
Yeah.
Like, you go out with 5 friends, someone's losing their phone.
Right,
like, I hear kids now, like, at my shows and my nephews and whatever, and we had to go back the next day because we lost my phone. Everyone's always, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't happen when you go out as a grown-up. At a certain point, you at least get that part dialed in. But I was going hiking in Alaska with a bunch of friends in college. I would always go into the woods at once a year. And we were going up to Alaska and going through security. I left my keys in the security bin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in Alaska and realizing I don't have my apartment keys for when I come home. And like now, again, as a grown-up, you're like, whatever, I'll just get back to New York and I'll get the landlord, I'll get someone to lock, you know, we'll figure it out when we get there. I was a nervous wreck.
Yeah, you gotta freak out.
I'm like freaking out my whole trip. Again, no cell phones. I'm on payphones whenever we'd come out of the woods and going to like into through a town. I would be calling my landlord and trying to see if I can get another key and calling the airline to try and figure out if they had a lost and found. Like, you know what I mean? Like just dumb, panicky moves. Because you don't know any better. You literally don't know any better. At this point, you're like, if you have a credit card, you know you can get out of any trouble you're in. Any, whatever it takes. You might have to pay it off for years. But you can, if you have a credit card, you have ways to get yourself out of any jam. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
But when you're a kid, you don't realize that. And my nephew, like, he locked his, I don't know if he, his car broke down on Canal Street in New York, which is a very active thoroughfare. And he came, and I'm in New York as a comedian. This is just a couple of years ago. And he is me when I was in college, losing my keys, freaked out, panicked, a mess. Just, I can't. He's just a basket case. What are we going to do? My car's stuck.
Yeah.
My car, this is the second time, actually. Another time he got his car towed in New York. Same thing.
Oh,
same
man.
Kid. Oh, my God. I don't know. I'm never going to get it back. I said to him, you have your uncle who has lived here forever, has been through all these things, and has money and credit cards. We're good.
Really?
Yes. It's all going to work out.
Oh.
But you don't realize that when you're young. You know, you're completely panic stricken. So, AAA got you out of a jam when you had your keys locked in?
Yeah, I mean, when my old PT Cruiser died, they towed it home. Uh-huh. They've done almost everything. I've had a couple batteries. Yeah, I mean, it's, I think they tow you 7 miles total.
Yeah.
Like in a year or something. So I've definitely used it a couple times. I mean, I haven't had any like super breakdowns really, but I've still always used it, you know?
Right.
Like at least once a year I've had some kind of problem.
Well, so. I'm glad that they got you out of a jam, and it's too bad you couldn't have made the podcast. Another company that's helping us out this week, this one is a plug. It's the good people at BlueChew.com.
Blue Chew.
BlueChew.com. That's B-L-U-E, Chew.com. They are the good people that have your back and other parts of you that need to pull off a happy date and a wonderful sex life. Blue Chew contains all of the same active ingredients, FDA-approved active ingredients, as Viagra and Cialis. So when you want to perform and perform with confidence, maybe you just want to put a spark back in a steady relationship that you've been in for a long time, and you just want them to know that you're still as content and raring to go as ever. Maybe you've just met somebody. Maybe it's a AAA driver, and she pulls up in her truck, and you strike it up, and it's a nice conversation. You end up going to out roller skating and on a couple dates, and you need to perform. Sneak a little Blue Chew in your mouth. Chew it like chewing gum. And, my God, she thinks you're just a guy with a bad PT Cruiser. No, you're a wonder boy.
You're like Burt Reynolds in the 80s. Chewing that gum really fast.
Chewing gum. Ready to perform with your boots on. It's BlueChew.com. Whether you need assistance, we all need assistance. Everyone needs assistance. Everybody, even the best lovers, feel like they could do a little better.
Get by with a little help from BlueChew.
BlueChew.com has a special offer right now. You can get your first shipment free when you use our special promo code PAPA. That's P-A-P-A. Just pay $5 shipping, and Blue Chew will hook you up. Ours, by the way, my nephew, who is in control of our advertising, he has them, and I has not sent them to. Have you gotten yours?
No.
Me neither. They're on their way.
He's selling them at Grateful Dead shows?
Just in time for springtime. Again, that's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code PAPA, and try it for free. It's the better, cheaper, faster choice, and we thank them for sponsoring the podcast.
Yes.
I watched, I've been watching a lot of baseball.
Yes.
I realize how much I love baseball is that I love it so much that on Monday night, I'm watching the Yankees and the Astros.
Monday night?
It's Tanaka versus Verlander. A great game, tough game. The Yankees lose a heartbreaker in the eighth. I go off and I had to do a show at the Laugh Factory. I come home. I watch more interviews and stuff about the game. I'm just interested of like how they lost it. Why, you know, I want all the breakdown. I'm looking at the interviews. It's not until the next morning when I get the paper that I realize, oh, it was the national championship game.
Yeah. You missed it.
I had no idea. That's how, once baseball shows up, I lost all of my March Madness.
Yeah, I was on the plane when the game was on. So I watched the whole overtime on this plane ride, which was pretty awesome.
That's pretty cool. It's, what do you mean? How'd you get to watch it on the plane?
They had live TV on Delta. So
They have the DirecTV?
It's just live studio, whatever. They have ESPN and a couple other, they had CBS, so that's what it was on. So I watched the whole second half and the overtime and everything.
That's
great.
Great.
Yeah.
That makes a flight go quickly.
Definitely. But it was the worst, it was probably the worst 3 weeks of traveling I've ever had.
Really?
Yeah, it was bad. It was so bad that I'm driving this week. That's how much I got stranded for the first time. I've never gotten stranded.
Did you miss a gig?
No. Thankfully.
Was on your way home?
I always go in a day early. I try to. I was going to Montreal. And it was one of those things I did. I did Ottawa, and I came back for like a day. And I was flying out of Burbank.
Yeah.
And flew to, was flying to Dallas, Fort Worth, and then to Montreal. And I was going to get to Montreal like 11 o'clock at night, and then I could relax the next day. And the flight from Burbank, I'm sitting next to this guy who's like very like antsy. Yeah. Like, you know, we're like 20 minutes late, and he's trying to get going, and he's just in regular civilian clothes. I was like, are you a flight attendant or something? He's like, no. He's like, I work for like the systems analyst stuff.
Uh-huh.
And this is the first time they brought this plane from here to, on this route. Uh-huh. So he's like, that's why we're going to be really late.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he was like closing bins for them and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, it's not good.
Why? So why isn't it good?
I don't know. For whatever reason, they just didn't know. Like, they had to do paperwork on it and all that kind of stuff. And it just took, like, all this extra time. We were just sitting in the plane. And my connection was, like, an hour and a half or 2 hours.
Oh,
and so we're kind of cutting it close. And then we land. And then he's like, there's somebody at our gate. And then we wait 30 minutes on the tarmac.
The worst feeling in the world.
So,
and you know that you're going to miss your flight now?
So and it's like, you know, 8 minutes or something like that. So I'm running, get there. The door's closed, and the guy's just like a jerk. He's just like, door's closed. I was like, there's like 10 other people coming. I'm the first one. I ran here. So I was like, every other plane is stuck on the runway, so your plane's not going anywhere. Can you just open it up for us? That he was just kind of a jerk, and you know. God. And then he comes out, and he's surprised to see like all the 10 people are there.
Oh, wow.
So then they're like, you know, we'll take care of you. We'll get you on the first flight tomorrow. And I was like, you know, when is it? And they're
tomorrow.
Like,
tomorrow.
They're like, 6 p.m. tomorrow. I was like, no, I can't. I'm already late.
Yeah.
And I said, is there a place that has like an early direct flight? And so the only place was Charlotte that still had. So I had to fly
another flight
to Charlotte for no reason, just to get on an early flight to get to Montreal.
That night you flew to Charlotte?
Yeah.
Oh, that's exhausting.
Spent the night in this in a dump. I was there for like 6 hours. You know, I got there like 2 a.m, went back to the airport at, you know, 8. And then so I was just like wrecked from that. It was like no rest at all. So it was like, and I'm still like waiting to yell at, it was American Airlines that did it. You're baby, Tom.
I like them. But you know what? It's the connecting. The connecting is just a killer. It really is. I'm really thinking of next year's tour, only direct flights.
And that's what I kept saying. I was like, that's why I only do direct flights. I was like...
Yeah, it's brutal. There's too many things that can go wrong. It's just... And you were okay. I mean, you had a full day. So you figure, even if it doesn't work out, I'm okay. But you're up against it.
And then I had to scramble the next day. And then for this flight, the Monday night, I was going from Montreal to Atlanta.
Right.
Had a ton of time. Of course, that's like an hour late. And I literally run to get to the, you know, as they're boarding.
Ugh.
And then jump on another 5-hour flight. You know what I mean? It was like,
yeah,
crazy.
It's exhausting.
Yeah.
That's exhausting. It just takes so long to recover from that. It takes like a full 2 days.
So that's why the tire was flat, I was like, oh, this is nothing. You know, I'm like, as long as I'm home, I can handle this.
That is brutal. Well, I'm flying tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, that's right. You got to fly tomorrow. Oh, I did want to mention one thing about Montreal.
Mm-hmm.
So I texted you while I was up there.
Oh, yeah, the bagel thing.
I do a bagel joke about how great New York bagels are.
Oh, no.
And
about
how places think they have a good bagels. Oh, all of a sudden, an entire sold-out Friday crowd starts booing.
Oh, yeah.
And joke is about, I think it was Colorado. I make fun of their pizza. And they already knew that I was going to go for, they thought I was going for their bagels. They were like that triggered that they were ready. And I was like, what? And they're like, our bagels are better than New York. I was like, oh, you thought I was going to say that? and then I used it the rest of the weekend. I was like, man, I was hoping your bagels are going to be better than that. And then they all start booing. It was so great. But yeah, they had all these, all the years we've been up in Montreal, nobody's ever told us.
No, I was well aware. I would have had your back on.
What's
that
the place?
There is multiple places in Montreal.
Fairmount?
What's the place? Blondie's, I think?
No, there's a Fairmount and then a Viateur. It's like a French place. There's two places that everybody gave us. And
yeah, I don't remember the names, but I know just as a town similar to New York, they have their... A lot of pride.
No, I knew about the smoked meat is what I knew about.
Yeah.
You knew about that, right? The Schwartz's Deli. That's the famous place in Montreal. It's called Schwartz's Deli. It's they do smoked meat sandwiches. That's like their famous thing.
Right. And poutine. There's a lot. I mean, Montreal is a great food destination for sure. But there is a little bit of a difference between the bagels in Montreal and in New York.
What is it?
A lot of the bagels up in Montreal actually have sourdough in them.
Oh.
Yeah. And they come out a little sweeter. They're a little flatter, the hole's a little bigger. They almost kind of tend to dip into like a Bialy kind of a element rather than
Bialy?
Yeah.
What's that?
Like a toasted Bialy. It's kind of like a bagel the hole is filled in.
Oh, okay.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure exactly other than those things, but I know that a lot of them do use sourdough in it. And they're a little, again, I think they're malted. I think there's a little malt in it, but I think they're very similar. But there is almost like a crispiness that comes like not even the toasted bagel, Montreal bagel. They're really good. I was with my friend who grew up in Montreal and was talking about my bagels that I make, and how I'm excited, how I've been making bagels and they're pretty damn good. He was booing me the way your crowd was. He was like, all right, whatever. I'm like, no, I'm telling you, I'm making good bagels.
That's so funny.
I'll be the judge of that. yeah. Let me look it up.
Yeah, it was fun, but it was, yeah, they really, they have some pride in the bagels, man.
Oh,
it
yeah,
was...
big time, big time. Several Montreal bagel factories are famous. Saint-Viateur,
that's the one, in Fairmont. Those are the two that everybody
well-known popular bagel shops. A variety of handmade and wood-fired baked bagels, in contrast to the New York-style bagels or East Coast-style bagel, which also contains sourdough. The Montreal bagel is smaller, thinner, sweeter, and denser with a larger hole.
I see.
That's a lot of adjectives. And is always baked in a wood-fired oven. It contains malt, egg, and no salt.
Hmm.
And is boiled in honey-sweetened water before being baked. Wow. That's interesting. In some Montreal establishments, I'm going to try that. In some Montreal establishments, bagels are still produced by hand and baked in full view of the patrons. Predominant varieties are black seed, poppy seed, and white seed.
Yeah, poppy seed, they said, was the one you got to try.
Yeah, very interesting. That's hilarious that you got in trouble. That's so funny.
Well, it was fun because you catch that, like, you know, that hot button issue. I think the last time I was there, we had all these guards from the prison where those two guys escaped, that Dana Mora.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like their party. It was like 20 of the prison guards that worked there.
No way.
And they
really
told me all about it. And they're like, yeah, she was like hooking up with the prisoners and yeah.
Wow. Did they talk about how Ben Stiller's doing a movie for about
it? This was like right before, I think it was like right after it happened. They were like, the search had they just found the guys.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was great.
They used, it's so funny how we've talked about this before, but it's so funny how when someone escapes from jail and it becomes a story, you're kind of rooting for them not to get caught.
Right.
You're just excited that someone's free. It doesn't matter what they did, and you don't even want to know. It's just, they're, just go.
Yeah.
How'd they do it? Go.
And that one.
And then a part of you wants them to get caught. It's a very exciting thing.
The guy killed a cop to get in there, though, in my hometown.
Ooh.
In Broome County.
Suddenly we're not rooting for him.
No, we definitely weren't, but it's like you're fascinated by the people that escape, right? Like,
yeah,
any
for sure.
Shawshank, any of those like escape movies are fascinating.
Yeah, yeah.
Like all these guys, like the whole purpose of this jail is to keep people in, and these guys found a way out. It's like gotta be ingenious, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there's something about, at the very basic element, there's something heroic about a human being who's able to free themselves from bondage.
Right. And all the things, because you need cooperation, but then you also need all this ingenuity and, like, you know, you got to make tools, all this kind of stuff.
Clint Eastwood, that was a good one. Escape from Alcatraz.
Yes.
That's a really good one.
And they got to make the El Chapo movies. You saw what he had to do. Like, they had, like, a motorized thing that was, like, pulling. They, like, dragged him underneath.
Well, wasn't that in Narcos?
A track or something.
On Netflix? Wasn't
that really?
Yeah. They kept showing him escaping because they'd get him and then he.
Oh, I haven't watched Narcos yet.
Oh, Narcos is great.
Yeah.
At least the first season. I might have seen the second season. I actually watched a show.
Uh-oh.
I watched a whole show.
Which one?
8 episodes. Russian Dolls.
Oh, was it any good?
It was really good. Yeah, it was really good. They told the story really well. It was very cool. It kept it going. The ending, you know, it's a little complicated, but it's buttoned down enough. My wife was trying to poke some holes in it and stuff, but they did enough. It was good.
8 episodes.
Episodes, a half hour each, though.
Yeah.
Perfect. Someone was telling me that they're creating clips on YouTube. Is it stand-up clips? At a minute 30.
Oh, my God.
Because 3 minutes is way too long. Is that amazing?
Well, it was weird when everyone started doing hour specials, and it's like, everyone's watching shorter stuff now. Like, why is it shorter? And then now with all the analytics, they're just figuring out, like,
yeah,
here's the maximum amount of time that people will watch stuff.
I feel like that's, I'm so wrong about all this stuff, but I feel like going the opposite and just start posting like 5-minute things on Instagram.
I mean, look at Joe Rogan. He just did it. You know, he's doing like a 4-hour podcast.
Right. Yeah.
And that gets some millions of people. So
yeah,
you never know. If you make it good.
And just do enough of it. And just, yeah, and just do what you do. Not dictated by time, just dictated by quality. But again, I've been wrong about all this stuff.
But I did watch, I watched two things that you would definitely love. And then I also watched a great movie that that I've never seen before. So that's one good thing that came out of all this traveling.
What was it?
I watched Road to Perdition.
Oh, I love that one.
Yeah.
Paul Newman.
I love Paul Newman. Tom Hanks.
Any movie where they've got
Irish
hats.
Irish mobsters.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I'd never seen it. And I always people always told me it was good. One of his last really good movies, Paul Newman. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was great.
So good. Paul Newman playing the gangster, Tom Hanks, and who's the Jude Law?
Yeah,
that weird,
very Boardwalk Empire-ish.
Mm-hmm. Before Boardwalk.
Yes.
Yeah, so who stole from who?
And I saw a Buster Keaton documentary.
I saw that too.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
How great was that?
It was really good.
I didn't know any of that stuff.
You didn't know him?
I didn't know what made him so good.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know that he did all those stunts himself and didn't really know all the backstory. It was weird. Like those silent film stars, everyone tells you why they're good, but then you really don't appreciate it
until
you see
really
it in the right context. You know, like even like Laurel and Hardy.
I know.
I saw the movie, it was like, oh, okay.
Isn't it amazing? It's you know, it's kind of like reading history. It's like,
yeah,
it's not part of your culture, so like you kind of have to dive into it in a different way. And but once you do, you start to realize, oh no, there's a reason why Laurel and Hardy are on every keychain and souvenir shop, and still, you know, it wasn't a mistake. And Buster Keaton's another one of those guys. The weird thing about Keaton is that he had this very thin, childlike quality that was like nerdy quality to his acting and when he became famous and was really funny. And then it's almost like comedians that play a character of a young guy.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, how's this going to age? It doesn't age well.
Right.
Right? Like with Keaton, all of a sudden becomes like this hound dog looking kind of angry dude.
Well, it wasn't even that. It was his voice.
Yeah.
Because he was a silent film star. And then you try to like, it's almost like a radio guy when you see their face.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, this doesn't match at all.
Yeah.
No, and his voice is very like a deep, graveled. Like you said, you think of him as like a boyish kind of whatever.
And he talks kind of like this.
Yeah, yeah.
But he had a cool career. Like he kept it going and people respected him enough to continue using him and stuff.
Well, as a child, yeah, that whole
the whole thing is really amazing.
Basically his parents used him as a prop in their show and he was like super famous. Like he bought a car when he was like 12 years old, but
yeah,
they basically like they got arrested for child abuse because of their act. And they would throw him back and forth at and they claimed that he only got hurt like twice or something, but it was like this insane.
But he was funny.
Yeah,
even
yeah.
As a kid, right? Even as a child.
But just the fact that he was that famous, I had no idea. And that he was like about to do, you know, basically like what Springsteen did on Broadway. And then he meets that Fatty Arbuckle who's making short films. And he's like, no, I want to do this instead.
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Like, I didn't know anything about that.
Totally amazing. Super cool.
And then the fact that he drank so much in the in what year was it? 1933. Booze was medicine back then, and he still had to go to rehab in 1933. He had to be the first, like,
you're the first celebrity
documented alcoholic, right?
It's amazing.
Like, how much must he have drank back then to, yeah, like...
Well, think about what the alcohol was, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's like basically grain alcohol, right?
I'm sorry I got distracted for a second, but I just checked in on...
Was your timer?
Southwest.com.
Oh,
A1, baby.
All right. Tom on the A-list.
All right. Well, now what's up, Sinead? You have a new tire. You're all good to go. You're going to be home for a while.
Yes. Well, no. I got to go to Sacramento this weekend. And then...
Right. You driving up?
Yes. No flying this week.
How long will that take you to get to Sacramento?
Like 4.5 hours, probably.
Not bad.
Couple of a ball game and a podcast or a...
Yeah.
I don't know.
That sounds good. Well, you'll be missed in San Francisco. You won't be far away.
I know. Have fun.
Are you doing the same club?
I'll be close.
Are you doing part of that Cobbs?
No. It's a different one. It's the one that I started, but I don't start until Friday, so I got like an extra day. I go Friday, Sunday.
Gotcha. And for all our subscribers to Patreon, your bonus episode is coming right after this. We will continue the podcast for all of you. And if you want to join and become a member, go to patreon.com and look up Come to Papa and become a subscriber. You guys are the best. We love you all. Enjoy your life.